Please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 in your Bibles. Thankful for the opportunity to preach. I want to say thank you to Pastor for the opportunity as well. Luke chapter 15, and then if you're physically able, when you find it, would you stand? If you don't have it, it's on the screen, but it's always fun to preach last because, you know, there's a small chance Pastor might say, hey, you want to give the invitation? And you're like, yes. But, you know, if you're preaching last, then people have been sitting for 30 minutes hearing Bible preaching. But I know my attention span is short as well. So we'll go ahead and stretch our legs. Luke chapter 15, we find in the gospel, according to Luke, the gospel account of Luke, that he really emphasizes Christ's virgin birth, his ministry, his miracles, and many other things as well. But Jesus taught in Luke chapter 15, a parable. And if you've been in Sunday school, you know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's right. It's a story that people of that day would understand that would have a deeper spiritual application to it. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this, "Then drew near unto him, unto Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying," skip down to verse 11. "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a," what's those next two words? "Far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would," "and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." What's those next three words? "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." You may be seated. This evening, with God's help, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "It's Time to Come Home." It's time to come home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name once again, and we thank you for this day that you've given us in your house. We thank you for your word. God, we ultimately thank you for what you did on the cross 2,000 years ago and paying for our sin debt and being buried and rising again and making a way for us to have a relationship with you. And God, we pray if there's even just one person in here tonight who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would repent and believe the gospel this evening, and that you'd help them to understand what you've done for them. And God, I pray for the Christian as well. So many times, God, we find ourselves falling away and straying from what you've called us to do and for what you have for our life. And so I just pray, God, that you'd keep our hearts soft and tender this evening, that you'd continue to speak. Lord, please help me. I need your help. And we pray that you'd be lifted up tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this text we mostly looks at deals with salvation. And I think that's pretty, as you read Luke chapter 15, it's pretty clear when Jesus is talking about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, about this one parable, that he's dealing with salvation. And I think you can kind of see the theme of that. But I believe you can also see an application for the believer as well with this son, this lost son, who we often reference as the prodigal son. And so I would like you to notice, firstly, the leaving. If you're taking notes this evening, he chose to leave. He had a choice. Look at verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The son who was once with the father, in fellowship with the father, in relationship with the father, in a moment, he chose, hey, dad, I want my inheritance. You can see that in verse number 12. Give it to me. So the father gives him his inheritance, and then he skips town. He gets out of there. You know, God gives us free will. The son in this passage had a decision, stay or leave. Enjoy the blessings that comes with being in fellowship with God, or go live the way I want to live. And we clearly see, and we will see, what the son decided to do. And I want to encourage you tonight to continue to let God speak to your heart. Because I don't know if you're like me, but when I look at a passage like this or hear preaching on it, my mind automatically goes, man, this person really needs to hear it. Oh man, we're talking about long suffering. Man, my sisters really need to learn about patience tonight. And you just think of all this stuff. Man, this person needs it. This person needs it. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, you belong to Him. Let God speak to your heart through His Word, because it still has power to speak and to change your life. But God gives us an option on whether we're going to say, hey, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so I want to encourage you to do that tonight. I wonder, are you in a far country? The Bible says in verse 13, in the middle of verse 13, and took his journey into a what? Far country. Say it with me, 1, 2, 3. Far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. A place that was far from the Father's house. A place that was far from fellowship with God. A place where he didn't enjoy being with his Father daily. He went to a place that he wasn't supposed to go. And so many times, and I know I'm guilty of it as well, we find ourselves in a far country. We find ourselves drifting from him. You know, a lot of times I think we like to think of all what other people are doing, or maybe, man, I'm not really living that bad of a life. You know, I'm not going to these places where my friends are going. I'm not participating in these bad activities my friends are participating in. I'm not thinking these things or saying these things. But the truth is, if you're being honest with yourself, you know there's times in your life where you just drift. You're in fellowship with God, things are going well, and then you find yourself drifting from God's plan for your life. But I want you to notice this as well. He left. And maybe you're in here tonight and you're contemplating it. And man, that's a dangerous place to be. You're on uneven ground about it. You're thinking, should I leave? Man, these pleasures off in the world, they seem good. And friend, I'll tell you, in the moment, they are good. They will feel good. You will find pleasure. But in a moment, you'll wake up like the son did and you'll realize what you've done. And we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. You know what it's like. To once enjoy fellowship with the God, to once be zealous for God, and then you find yourself far away. I want you to notice, secondly, the emptiness. Look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, he has nothing left. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He had no money left. You know, sin leads to emptiness. And I'm sure when he was at the father's house contemplating going to the far country, going to the parties, going to the women and the other things that could satisfy him, he probably thought, man, once I get out of here, it's about to be one good time. But what do we find in verse number 14? And when he had, what's those two words? Spent all. He had nothing left. You know, sin will lead you to an empty life. It'll lead you to a broken life. It'll lead you to shame, regret. It'll lead you to sitting up at night wondering, what have you done? And I can't help but think, we find that he's in the pig pen. He's going out in verse number 15. The Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You go from the father's house to a good time with the boys and the girls and whoever you're hanging with to the pig pen. He's with the pigs. And I don't know about you, but pigs are not clean. We had pigs once. I forget their names. Maybe it was Pork Chop. We had real good names for them. Pork Chop, Hammy. I don't know. I forget their names exactly. But I remember those pigs. And they were cute at first. I was like, man, these are cute little pigs. And then they got bigger. And then you'd get in the pig pen with them and they'd chase you around. And I'm like, man, these pigs stink. You say, what happened to those pigs? Well, one morning, probably a Saturday morning, you're sitting at the breakfast table. There's pancakes. And there's a big glass of milk, and all of a sudden, dad brings in a big plate of bacon. You're like, oh, that's what happened to those pigs. But the truth is, sin will lead you to emptiness, but it'll lead you to places you never wanted to go. You tell me, do you think the prodigal son wanted to go to the pig pen? You think when he's sitting at the Father's table or when he's out living in the far country, do you think he's thinking, man, I would love to be feeding some pigs right now? Yes or no? No. That's the thing. That's how sin is. In the moment, it seems worth it. In the moment when you're thinking about it, it's like, yes, I want to be in it. Oh, the pleasures I could experience. But man, the side effects are not worth it. Maybe you're feeling that tonight. Maybe you feel the emptiness that sin brings. Maybe you feel the brokenness that it brings. You know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs 13, verse 15, that the way of the transgressor or transgressors is hard. It's an empty life. And maybe you're like that in here tonight. You go to church, you do the routine, but deep down in your heart, you have not known real fellowship with the Father for a long time. Hey, look up here. Maybe you have a relationship with God, but you haven't been in his presence in real fellowship for a long, long time. And I want you to know you can have that again tonight. It was empty. It wasn't worth it. He went from the Father's house, from probably peace, joy, and happiness to, in a blink of an eye, the pleasure was good. The moment felt right. Before he knew it, there's a famine in the land and he's with the pigs. It's not worth it. It's never worth it. I want you to notice, thirdly, the returning. And this is where things get good. You know, Christian, it is time to come home. This is what he says in verse 17. Jesus said this, and when he came to himself, he's coming to his senses. He's waking up. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I will perish with hunger. He's like, man, I'm about to perish with hunger, but my dad's servants are eating better than me. I'm in the pig pen and my dad's own servants are eating better meals than I'm having right now. And then he says this in verse 18. What's those next three words? I will arise. Say it again. I will arise. Will you arise, Christian? Will you get up tonight? Maybe you feel like you are in the pig pen. Maybe you feel empty and broken and far from what God has for your life. But man, praise God, it's not too late. All right, everybody do this. Breathe in once and then breathe out. Ready? Hey, good news. You're still alive. You know what that means? God's not done with your story. All right? He saved you. He called you. Look, I love this. I think it's in John 10. Jesus talks about, you know, you're in his hand. You're in the Father's hand. And the Bible talks later in the New Testament that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hey, some of you have been living under shame for a long time. And it's time to wake up and realize, hey, the same God that saved me is the same one who kept me. And it's the same one who can pick me back up and put my feet on the rock and get me back to where he wants me to be. That's not prosperity gospel. That's Bible truth. All right? Shame and guilt and brokenness and sin will take you to places you never wanted to go, like that old quote says. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to give. It will. It'll wreck your life. It'll destroy you. But the good news is the Father's still waiting. There's still time. Jesus is coming back soon. He's going to come. We'll either meet him in the air or we'll either pass into death and meet him face to face. But the truth is there's still time to get right. Look at verse number 20. After the son really records what he's going to say to his father, the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Pause. If you look at what the son was going to say, the father didn't even let him finish. He cut him off. And the Bible says in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. This man's been in the pig pen. You think he needs some new clothes? Probably. And put a ring on his, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You know, I can't help but think the son probably came to his dad dirty. He probably didn't stop by the shower house at the YMCA that they had back in the day in Jerusalem or wherever he was going. I'm just making that up. But he probably didn't stop by and get cleaned up, get new clothes, get new shoes and say, all right, time to go home. No, you know what? I believe from what you see in this, he came as he was. Right? And God's not waiting for you to clean up your life and get everything perfectly put back together for you to come back to the Father's house. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He saved you. He called you and he's waiting for you to come home. Now you got a choice. You know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it too, we sit through preaching and we're given a decision at the end and it's like we don't want to make one. It's yes or no. All right? Indecision meaning, hey, I'm not going to make one. It is a decision. All right? It's time to come home. It's time to get right. And I'm not perfect, but I know by God's help, with the spirit that he put in you when you got saved, you're able to stay right. And you'll be able to live the life he's called you to live. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you come home tonight, you're not going to be met with a back 10. All right, I don't know about you, but my parents, when they talk about being raised, always talk like, man, we got whooped good. Like, you're lucky. And I'm like, I know I am. Like, but the beautiful thing about the Father is when you come home, he's not going to meet you with a big spanking. All right, that doesn't mean that God doesn't chasten his children, right? You're still going to reap where you sow. But he's waiting. He's waiting for you to come home. And we'll end, I'd like to end with this story. We actually sung this hymn this morning, Come Thou Fount. The writer of it was named Robert Robertson. He was born in England, and at the age of 17, he was sitting under the preaching of a very well-known preacher in England named George Whitefield, and he got converted. He got saved. And later in life, God, he called him to preach. He called him to ministry. He became a pastor, and he eventually moved away, but he wrote this hymn, Come Thou Fount. And maybe you know, Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise or grace. And then in the last verse, it talks about prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. How many of you feel like that sometimes? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, take my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And the man who wrote that hymn, it's recorded in a book that later in his life, he had lapses into sin. He began to kind of stray. And it's recorded that one day he was in a stagecoach. It's almost like a taxi for the 1700s, all right, pulled by horses. And he's sitting in that stagecoach and a woman's reading a hymn. And as she reads that hymn, they begin to have a conversation and talk, and she begins to hum a tune of a hymn. And she's humming, and he burst into tears. It's recorded. He starts to cry. And he says this, and I quote, Madam, I'm the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds, if I had them, to enjoy the feelings I had then. You know, I don't know how this gentleman's story ended exactly at the end of his life, but I do know this. There came to a point in his life when he hears that hymn and he remembered what God had done in his life. He remembered the joy and the peace that he once had. And maybe you're like that in here tonight. Can I tell you this, Christian? You can have it again. Come home. Jesus says what? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And maybe you're in here tonight and you're outside of Christ. You're dead spiritually. Well, there's good news for you too. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he was buried and he rose again, there's an open door for you to be forgiven, made right with God, because we're separated from God when we're born by our sin. You can be made right with God tonight, and when you die, you can go to heaven and be with him forever. But God gives you a choice. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He gives you a decision, unbeliever. Call upon him. Repent. See yourself as he sees you, a sinner in need of saving. Call upon his name. He will forgive you. He will save you. And Christian, maybe you feel like you've drifted. Can I tell you tonight, there's still hope. Maybe you feel like Robert Robertson, you once had that joy, you once had that peace. Hey, you can know it again. Come home tonight. Did you have your head bowed and eyes closed as the pianist comes to play? Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, man, I know Christ. I know because what he's done for me, I know I've been born again. And that's awesome. That's great. But maybe you say, man, I'm going to be real with you. I've really drifted. Man, I've been living a double life, a secret life for a long time. And tonight, I want to get right. Can I encourage you? Friend, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive you. But he gives you an option. Come or stay. Hey, are you going to stay in the pig pen tonight? Or are you going to come home to the Father's house? He's waiting. He's waiting for you. And as the pianist begins to play, maybe you're in here tonight, and you're like, you know what, I want to make that right. You just, where you're seated, or maybe you'd like to come forward, you can get that right with him tonight. And maybe you're lost. Maybe you say, man, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. And then tonight, call upon his name. You can simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know because of my sin I deserve judgment, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and I'm trusting in you to save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Just something simple. Call out to him tonight in faith, and he will save you. As pastor comes to close, I want to encourage you, believer, the Father is waiting for you to come home.